chapter 11. But I'm just going to borrow one verse out of Hebrews 11 in verse number 7. I just want to read this. Most of you know it by memory. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he also condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Heavenly Father, now we pray that you bless the reading of your word. Help us, Lord. We try to preach a little while here this afternoon. Lord, pray that you can use me, Lord, in part to something that would be a blessing to everyone that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach a phrase out of this verse, things not seen as yet. Things not seen as yet. We live in anticipation, amen, of some glorious things out yonder waiting for us. I remember when I grew up down in the over just north of Somerset, raised up on the farm, and of course things a lot different then than they are now. We didn't have computers and things, and if you wanted running water, well, you went down to the spring, got it, and run back up a hill with it. Amen. That's about the only running water we had. And when you used to go to them outdoor Johns, you know, and you find something you wanted, you'd tear the page out and run back to the house and order it. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I was raised up, Brother Junior, you know. And, but anyway, I lived a very simple life. We weren't introduced to drugs. And a matter of fact, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the fact the Lord can save an old boy, even though he was a member of a church and baptized. And before that, I ever made my first profession of faith, I didn't smoke. I didn't cuss. My mother, a very godly woman, which Brother Broughton knows her real well, took us to church at Liberty Baptist Church. And I've told other folks, not because Brother Broughton's here, but there's probably two people very instrumental in the Lord saving me and keeping me safe till I got saved, and that was my mother and Brother Broughton's father. When I was a teenage boy going to Liberty Baptist Church in northern Pulaski County, Cecil Broughton, they'd ask Cecil to lead in prayer, and he said, "Oh God," he'd start out, "Oh God, now Lord, we come to you today, and we pray, Lord, that you would put your arm around these young people. And Lord, pray that you will keep them safe. And Lord, don't let them go out into eternity without God." I can still remember those prayers like it was yesterday. Brother Bill, I can remember those things. And when I was 19 years old and got out of the nest up in northern Placer County, I kind of got out of the nest like a young eagle getting out of the nest, and I headed towards Cincinnati, and I dropped over that hill down into Cincinnati. It was already dark, and all them lights of that city. And the devil crawled up in my ear and said, "Now, boy, you can have time." He said, you've been going to church all your life, and you've been... doing what your mother said, and I did what Mom said because I loved her. I didn't want to do anything against my mother. And I thought, I might try that other side of the fence, and I did. But I had my mother's sister lived in Cincinnati area, out on the outskirts in the farming community just outside of Cincinnati, and I got away from this thing of going to church and stuff, you know, and I thought, yeah, I'll try the other side. And I was getting in trouble. I was getting in trouble because I was like the prodigal, even though I wasn't saved. I didn't know it right at the time. I thought it was because I was a member of a Baptist church and been baptized. And so I kept getting worse and worse. I was at a bowling alley one night, the guys that was with me saw that I was dumber than a box of rocks and didn't know nothing. And so they asked me if I wanted some lemonade, and they brought me a glass. And I tell you, that's about as good a tasting stuff as I ever drunk. Well, that was the best lemonade I ever had. And they said, "You want another?" And I said, "Yeah." And then, "You want another?" And I said, "Yeah." and I didn't realize that it was spiked until I was bowling on all three lanes. I'd start off on one lane, and I'd throw the ball down the third lane, and they was having a ball, sitting back there laughing, and it finally dawned on me that I was drinking something I shouldn't be drinking. And the next morning, I got so drunk that they had to drive me home, and I got up the next morning, got me a big swig of water, and I was all over again. I drunk all over again. They had that was gin, Brother Frank. It was in there, and boy, as they say, if you get up and drink again, you're just drunk the next day as you were the day before. And about a week after that, I got a phone call from my aunt, my mother's sister, and I guess Mom was praying and probably talking to her sister in Alberta, and my aunt said, you're going to church with me tonight. She didn't say, will you go? She said, you are going to church with me tonight. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I love my aunt just about as much as I love Mom, because she helped raise me too. And anyway, my dad was an alcoholic for many years. Our family split apart, but I had some people that loved me and kindly kept me in the shelter, so to speak. I went to church that night, and an old preacher got up and said, I'm going to preach on hell tonight. Yeah. Old Ozell Pinson got up that night, and son, did he hold the corn, Brother Frank. Yeah. He preached on hell, and I sat there and shook in the pew and held on to the pew. And the invitation time come, and I walked out of the back and went home, and I sobbed all the way home and got up in my bed on the second floor where I stayed that night. And I crawled out of my bed about 1 o'clock in the morning on my knees, and I said, God, I'm through. Lord, if you'll take me, I've taken you. And God wonderfully saved me that night. And so that's just kind of the story of my life. But I'm waiting now. Now that I'm saved, I'm waiting in anticipation of what the Lord said. Amen. The Bible said here that Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Let me tell you, I don't understand today when professing Christians, people say that they are saved. I can't understand that they can live loose lives like they did, knowing that they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, granted, I'm a lot far removed from what I want to be. Amen. I want to be a better Christian than what I am. But there is one thing that helps me to mind God and live a better Christian life than I otherwise would, is because that I know that I'm facing something that I haven't seen yet. We're facing the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. He said, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, we're living in a day when professing Christians, men and women, they get a divorce from, and then they say, well, they fall in love with somebody else, they say, but we want to make sure it's love, and so start living together. Huh? I mean, there's all kinds of professing Christians out here living together and not even married. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 that the bed is undefiled in marriage. And if I understand my Bible right, anything outside of that's adultery. Huh? And so you might not have wanted to ask me to preach after this is over, but you know, listen, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:11. He said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And you know, Paul lived in anticipation of having to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, knowing the terror of the Lord. You know, I've had people tell me, I don't care as long as I make heaven by the skin of my teeth. Hey, listen, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when it talks, somebody's already preached on this a little today, the wood, hay, and the stubble, the gold, the silver, and the precious stone. And you know what? The Bible said some shall suffer loss, but they themselves shall be saved, so as by far. And so, listen, the judgment seat of Christ, if there's anything, there's a lot of things I'm looking forward to that I haven't seen yet. But I'll tell you, I am not altogether wanting to rush into the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, let me be first. Huh? There's some things, you know, that, I just become a new Christian and saved and had my pocket full of tracts and my New Testament up there and went into work at Sternly Foster Company. And there's the man that was a foreman over the delivery of the springs that they brought in, these springs that we make the beds out of. And boy, he was a wicked man, big old burly wicked man, and he just cursed God all the time, and so Lord said, give him a track. New Christian, little old scrawny. Back then, you wouldn't know it now, back then I weighed about 140 pounds, and he probably weighed 280, and so Lord said, give him a track. I said, what, Lord? Give him a track. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll give him a track at break. And now this started on Monday, and this kind of worked on me all the way through the week, and it got down to Friday, and I still hadn't given him a track, and the noon meal was over, and afternoon break, I said, okay, Lord, this is my line change. I'll give him a track at this last break in there Friday. And I didn't, boy, God dealt with me, and I didn't do it, And Monday, we all gathered back into work, and somebody said, where's Bob at? Bob Ruslow, where's he at? Oh, didn't you hear a preacher? Oh, they didn't call me preacher because I wasn't a preacher time. Said, didn't you hear? I said, hear what? Said, he died over the weekend. You understand why I'm not too rushing to the judgment seat of Christ? Bible said in the book of James, for a man to know to do good and do it not, to him it's sin. You know, and all I can do now is say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, help me, but I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give account to God as to why I didn't do what God wanted me to do. Huh? Notice what it says here. Noah, being warned of God, the things not seen as yet moved with fear. And I'm one that believes this. If a person doesn't fear God, they're going to be living loose. They're going to be committing sin, living like the world, carnality. I tell you, fear of God's a big thing, amen. Yes. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Yes. Parents letting their kids... get involved in things that they should never get involved in. I'm talking about while they're still at home and don't have enough a maturity about them to make wise decisions, and parents letting them go to church wherever they want to go. I let them go out with a gang, you know, that don't, you know, with kids that they don't go to church, and just letting them run. No, friend, you'll get in trouble that way.
Right.
Noah moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house.
Right.
Our first responsibility as Christian parents is to make sure that our household is secure, right, that our families, you know what? In the Old Testament, you can kind of figure this out by studying the book of Job, that Job was a priest of his own family. He offered up sacrifices for his own kids. And I'm going to tell you, fathers, we've got a lot of responsibility. And when we face the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to give account to God if we didn't raise our kids and bring our children up in the way they should go. There's some things that I haven't seen yet. I haven't seen the judgment seat of Christ. I think one of the number one things that plagues churches, I'm preaching about Baptist churches now, and being a pastor for 41 years at the same place, one of the biggest problems that I have had as a pastor among the Christian membership of the church is the fact that they want to judge one another. Huh? While people even say, well, I don't think so-and-so's saved. And I know them, we know them by the fruit they bear. And I know why we say these things. But listen, we don't know who's saved and who's lost. We don't know that. Why doest thou judge thy brother? And why doest thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:10. Huh? The Bible said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, thou art excusable, O man, he that judges another. For the Bible goes on to say in that verse, when you judge another, thou condemnest thyself because you do the same things. Amen. Jesus said something like this, get the beam out of your own eye before you try to cast the mote out of somebody else's eye. And that word beam actually means the same as a two before. Huh? Big old piece of wood. And a mote is a speck of pepper. And so get the two before out of your own eye before you try to get the speck of pepper out of somebody else's. Huh? We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Here's something else I haven't seen. Now this I'm really looking forward to. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I haven't seen my dwelling place yet. I haven't seen my mansion yet. But I'm living in anticipation of it. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm living it. Hey, I'm getting tired hitting these chug holes down here. Yes, sir. And busting a new tar and all that stuff and tripping over the curbs and all one of these days. Brother, I tell you, you ladies, you're not going anywhere. You're going to walk on it if you're saved. So you better, amen. I'm looking forward to going. I'm living in anticipation. I was a kid growing up on the farm, like I told you, we never did get off the farm. We never did go anywhere. Just farm. That was all, Brother Broughton. You know how that was up there. And so one day they loaded us all on a bus, a big old yellow school bus. I was about a sophomore in high school. And they're going to take us to Somerset to see Uncle Tom's Cabin, because that was a history assignment. We had to take notes on this Uncle Tom's Cabin thing, and they're going to give us a test on it. They put us on that old yellow bus and rolled us down into Somerset, Kentucky, and I looked at that big old courthouse. I said, oh, I can't believe these buildings this size. Huh? When I looked at all, I looked at that United Department Store, Brother Bill. And now, since I've been in Cincinnati and other cities and in Israel and other big places, Manila, Philippines and all this, I go to Somerset now and say, where's it at? But I tell you, I'm living in anticipation of that city. Oh, four square. Revelation, I think, gives us 1,500 miles square. It's a cube, 1,500 miles and 1,500 miles straight up. Huh? You talk about being able to fly a kite then, brother. Amen. It's going to be a great day when we get home, isn't it? And the gates of that city shall not be shut at all, because there won't be no night there. There won't be no thieves there. Amen. Everyone that abomination won't be allowed in. Listen, you'll be able to, you won't have to lock your doors. Huh? Brother Bill, the nearest thing I've saw to that is one time I'd been in Cincinnati for a while, and up here we locked our doors when we left. I come down, picked up my mother, and said, we're going downtown Somerset to shop a little bit today. It's on Saturday, and we started leaving. I walked out first, she walked out, and I looked back and I said, you've got to lock a door. She said, lock a door? We don't lock no doors down here. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful when we get there? Amen. Won't have to be trying to take care of your stuff. I got one old car at home, three doors locked, and one won't. I lock all three and hope he don't check the other. Amen. Boy, we get to heaven, it won't be that way. Won't it be glorious? And we'll all get to be together. Hey, let me tell you something else. There ain't no streets, and there ain't no cabin in a corner of glory, man. Right. Bible says it said that street to go. Don't stay streets. Huh? You ain't going to have to look around and get your GPS, find out where to go. Because you just head right down Main Boulevard, and there it is, brother. I was in the Manila, Philippines, and I got out in that city and that thing, about eight lanes wide, right down through Manila, and not marked off. And so you choose which way you want to make your lane go. Sometimes there'd be five going that way and three coming this way. Then sometimes there's one going that way and seven coming this way. If you're brave enough to make it whichever way you want it to go, you pull out and go, amen. Won't be that way in heaven, praise God. It'd be Main Boulevard, a golden street right down through the middle. Yes, sir. The psalmist said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Ain't some things I've not seen yet. I tell you what, I've yet to see any of God's children be abandoned. Huh? Now, the Lord may allow us to go to the bottom. He allowed that little old widow's barrel to run out and got down to empty. She said, all we got left is enough oil from a kid. Amen. The kid, we're going to fix it and die. And God didn't let it run out, did he? Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, from the looks of most of you around here, the barrel ain't run dry at your house either. Amen. They told me when I left General Motors in 1972 and went to be a full-time preacher over this little old church that I'm pastoring up there, he said, you starve to death. My preacher friend said, you'll starve to death. Son, that's 1972. Sir, there have been a lot of chickens went into ministry since then. I'm telling you what, it ain't the hype ain't been told. That queen of the south come up to see Solomon, and she said, Solomon, hype ain't been told. I mean, he had apes and peacocks and lakes in his backyard, and he had everything he wanted, and then some to spare, a lot to spare. She said, hype ain't been told that. And I'm going to tell you, eye has not seen, and ear have not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of God the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Are you excited today? Yeah. Some of you sitting there looking like you ain't going. Huh? Praise God. It's something to get excited about, Brother Harrell. We ain't seen it yet. Did you ever drive? I told you about going, they put us on that old yellow bus at Eubank, said we're going to take a senior trip, Brother Junior. And then they took down through Somerset, and we're going down to Tennessee to see Rock Mountain. Whew, boy, I couldn't wait. Hey, do you know what? You hear somebody say, boy, I just can't wait. What are you going to do about it? What am I going to do? Jump off that old yellow bus and beat it? Huh? I got to wait till I get there. Got kinfolk coming in and say, just can't wait till they get here. Hey, we live in anticipation of heaven, and you say, well, I just can't wait to get there. You'll have to. You can't get there before you do. Things I haven't seen yet. Amen. Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Brother Sisson said he hoped that the Lord would let him get suspended up about 50 feet in the air. And he looked back down and said, I told you so. I kind of thought how neat it would be if the Lord comes. Amen. They're going to be caught out here in a twinkling of an eye. Not the blinking. Now, a blink you can see, but you can't see a twink. I mean, it's too fast. Did you see that one? Oh, too fast. And you know, wouldn't it be something if the Lord just let me stay here just for a little while, and all the other saved gone, and here I am down here saved with a glorified body. And get a bunch of them sinners in the bar, drink, and just walk right in. Don't even open the door. Enough. Walk right through the wall. Yeah. Scare them to death. Huh? Yeah. Amen. Scare that bad place out of them. Yeah. I live in anticipation of a new body. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes. Bible said we're going to be raised in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That gives us a picture of the resurrection. Hey, I ain't seen the resurrection yet. But praise God, I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I'm looking forward to that resurrection. The Bible says we're sown corruptible. We'll be raised incorruptible. I know we got to take what comes our way. But look at these hands. Look at that finger there. Huh? Looked like a dog had a hold of it. Broke it in five places. I mean, I'm arthritis. You know where I feel my best at? Right here. It's where I feel my best. I don't feel no pain here. Huh? I'm on a high. Amen. Don't need no pain pills in the pulpit. But you go back there and you sit down in the pew and before long you know, ooh, where'd that come from? Ooh. I mean, yeah, you know, you take a step and you'll hear it look like a machine gun going off. Every bone from here to here will pop. Amen. People dodging, trying to get out of the way of the bullets. And bones are popping. Amen. I had false teeth, but time I was 19 years old, I had a full upper plate. Huh? And I went to make a hospital visit. By that time, of course, I grew up a little bit more and got a little older and had to get all the bottom plate pulled out. And I had to get these things to find my teeth. It's a body, this old body's a mess. Huh? Walked into a hospital room, one of the members having surgery, Sister Birch having surgery. I walked in the hospital and she'd go, getting ready to take her in the hospital, or doesn't tuck her teeth out. You know, and women, they're very sensitive about that. Huh? Now, men don't care. But women, they're sensitive about that. And so I walked in, Sister Birch threw her hand to her mouth. I said, Sister Birch, are you embarrassed that I am here and you don't have your teeth? He said, yes. So I took mine out. I took mine out and put them in my pocket. I did. Boy, won't it be good one day when I had to have these old false teeth? I caught mine one time about right there. Yeah. Oh, we did have quick hand, Brother Noah. You remember that, don't you? Oh, I had quick hand. So I caught them. Huh? I went to bed. It's one Sunday morning. I got halfway to church and didn't even have them. Forgot them, left them home. Went on preach without them. That shows a mark of humility. Amen. God, you'll change these vile bodies. Yeah. Praise God one of these days. Amen. Won't it be great?
Yeah.
Hey, how many in here don't have pain at all and never have had pain? Look at that. Everybody's guilty. Everybody's hurting. Everybody's got something wrong with them. Huh? Yes, sir. And you know, the best diet in all the world will be after we get home. Amen. Amen. We all be just the right size. We'll have no cholesterol problems, no appendicitis, bursitis, and all them rightest boys, they can't come. Amen. They locked out of heaven, they can't be that. Praise God, want to be a great day. Hey, I'm glad that we live in anticipation with some things that we've not seen yet. But let me close by this and say, just like Noah being warned of God, the things not seen as yet, moved with fear. We ought to take the word of God just as serious as Noah did. And it ought to move us just as though it moved Noah. I tell you what, Noah was so overwhelmed by the word of God, by God's message to him, that he built a boat, biggest thing. And you know, we may never see it yet, but one of these days we'll understand it all. We'll have perfect knowledge. But Noah moved with fear. God help us, church. God, help us, children of God. Help us that when God says something in this book. Let me close by a true illustration. I was at the church one day. It was a weekday in the afternoon. They was having a historical tour of Montgomery. And our building is historical. And so they had asked me if I'd leave the doors open. So I did. And in walks four women. And they were, of course, look at them windows, how beautiful they were. Dates on them, you know, dating all the way back into the 1800s. And they were looking at these windows. And they were, we put, in 1978, we put 50 feet addition on and built a choir loft in the baptistry and all. And they looked up there and they said, what's that back there? And I said, well, that's a baptistry. A baptistry? They didn't know what it was. So I took it back and I showed them the baptistry and all. And they asked a real good question. What's it for? So I began to explain to them what the baptistry was for. And they gave me a chance, and out of that came a chance to present all of them with the plan of salvation. But this time I had found out that they were all Catholic. Didn't know nothing about being born again. One 16-year-old girl, one out of the four was a 16-year-old girl. And when I began to quote the book of Romans and the Romans Road, you know what she said? That's the writings of Paul. I said, so? You know what? She believed that all the writings of Paul was just the writings of Paul. And anybody else who wrote it would be just as important. In other words, she didn't believe it was inspired. Amen? I'm glad we got an inspired book. I was hauling dirt out of our basement. Brother Sisson was with me in this deal. Belvin was with me at that time. And we bought this old Nazarene, old Presbyterian building. They had no baptistry. And they had went in and into that church, and they had dug a basement after the building was built and poured a solid concrete floor in that thing. And so this woman, we down there working one day, me and Brother Sisson, four or five of the men. I said, boy, I wish we had a baptistry where we didn't have to run off to the creek, some other church, you know, and then especially in the wintertime. I said, I wish we had a baptistry. Melvin said, let's build one. I said, where? He said, right here. You know, that's how Melvin is. You know how he is. He said, let's build it right here, concrete floor. I said, man, concrete floor. Oh, jackhammer it out. We did. We got us a jackhammer and started busting up concrete. And we built a baptistry right in the basement floor. Or started digging it. So I'm a trucking this by myself one day, and I'm trucking dirt up the steps, up a ramp. Wheelbarrow loads of dirt. Woman across the street, on the newspaper across the street, she kept looking at me. I noticed every time I wheeled out a load of dirt, she'd look at me. And finally she came out and she said, Reverend. Well, that's a good sound, ain't it? Reverend. She said, I want to know where you getting that dirt. I said, I'm getting it in the basement. Out of the basement there. She said, my husband helped pour that basement, and I know it's a solid concrete basement. You can't be getting that dirt down there. I said, oh, yeah, I'm getting it down there. She said, what are you doing? I said, digging a grave. She looked at me. She said, you can't be serious. I said, very serious. She said, you going to bury people down there? I said, I hope to bury a lot of people down there. Now, she's a Methodist now. She's a Methodist. I witnessed to her before. Amen. She's a Rainwater Methodist. Amen. No offense. She said, can I come down and see it? I said, sure. I said, come on down. She come down. She looked at that. She said, you are really digging a grave, aren't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, do you have any Bible for this? I turned over to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. I taught her the scripture way to be baptized. Yes. But I said, now before you can be scripturally baptized, you've got to be scripturally saved.
Yes. Yes.
And I stood there and gave that woman the whole plan of salvation. Amen. How did I get on, man? Are you listening real good, Junior?
That's good.
How did I get on, man?
Yeah,
hey, there's some things I ain't seen yet. But one day, praise God, I'll have perfect knowledge.
Amen. Amen.